Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, June 4th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
Minnesota files new charges in the death of George Floyd.
President Trump pushes leaders in New York to crack down on demonstrations.
Former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis condemns the president's actions.
And protests continue for a ninth day as tensions run high in New York and New Orleans.
The White House and Pentagon clash over the use of force during protests, and Governor Cuomo declares victory over the coronavirus. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports, the latest on the NBA playoff plan and reaction to controversial comments made by an NFL star.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people, character, community, partnership. Together as one, SEI. Go to seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 13 points. Dow futures down 95. NASDAQ futures down 20. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury little change, yield 0.74%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 52 cents at $36.78 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $4.80 at $1,709.60 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with new charges filed against the Minneapolis police officer responsible for the death of George Floyd.
I filed an amended complaint that charges former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin with murder in the second degree for the death of George Floyd.
Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison also announced charges of aiding and abetting second-degree murder for the other three officers at the scene. Protesters in New York City greeted the news like this. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz spoke after the announcement, calling the new charges a meaningful step toward justice.
As this exploded across the United States and the world, it's very clear that there's a lot more to this. And communities have been telling us that.
Attorney General Ellison concedes convicting the four officers will be difficult.
Protests continued across the country last night. Tensions ran high in New York and New Orleans, though demonstrations in most cities were peaceful. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Karen, police began clearing rallies in New York City moments after the 8 p.m. curfew went into effect. Protesters clashed with police in Brooklyn, though no incidents emerged from the confrontation. Separately, two city police officers suffered gunshot wounds. Another was stabbed while on anti-looting patrol. The suspect was shot and is in critical condition. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the officers' injuries are not life-threatening.
Thank God all of our officers will recover.
Meantime, in New Orleans, police fired tear gas to disperse protesters. Unrest in the city came after New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees told Yahoo Finance he still opposes football players kneeling during the national anthem.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
Protesters on the streets of New Orleans chanted opposition to the Saints quarterback's comments. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And John, in California, a man suspected of looting from a pharmacy last night was shot and killed by police. Here with that story is Ed Baxter, reporting from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Sean Monterosa was shot by officers who thought he was carrying a firearm in his waistband. It turned out to be a hammer. Now, details of the shooting were revealed as some California counties and cities here plan to end curfews after days of largely peaceful protest. 22-year-old Monterosa is the first confirmed death at the hands of California law enforcement related to stealing from stores since the death of George Floyd. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Meantime, in Washington, President Trump took his message to several conservative media outlets in an interview on Newsmax. The president pushed leaders in New York to crack down on protests, though he stopped short of another threat to send troops to the city.
I don't think we'll have to. We have very strong powers to do it. The National Guard is customary, and we have a very powerful National Guard. Over 300,000 men and women, and we can do pretty much whatever we want as far as that. But as far as going beyond that, sure, if it was necessary.
The president was broadly critical of protesters in the interview, noting that demonstrations violate social distancing recommendations to curb the coronavirus outbreak.
Former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has some harsh words for President Trump. The retired Marine general is condemning his former boss for his aggressive rhetoric and strategy to stop protests. We get more from Bloomberg's John Harney in Washington.
It's almost unprecedented for a former cabinet minister to attack a sitting president like this. But Mattis had a special place. He was one of the generals who gave luster to the early Trump administration. But he has so far refrained from directly attacking the president, even though he obviously had strong disagreements with the administration's policies.
Mattis says, quote, Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people. Instead, he tries to divide us.
Former President Barack Obama is pushing for police reform in his first public remark since the death of George Floyd.
Today, I am urging every mayor in this country to review your use of force policies with members of your community and commit to report on planned reforms.
The former president calls the current protests profound. He's hoping they'll lead to permanent change.
As tragic as these past few weeks have been, as difficult and scary and uncertain as they've been, they've also been an incredible opportunity for people to be awakened to some of these underlying trends. And they offer an opportunity for us to all work together to tackle them, to take them on, to change America and make it live up to its highest ideals.
Mr. Obama chose not to criticize President Trump. His remarks came at a virtual event for a nonprofit to help minority boys and young men. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 12 points. Dow futures down 89. NASDAQ futures down 18. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street, and Amy Morris is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Amy.
All right, good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is declaring victory over the coronavirus. New York had 49 deaths. First time in 10 weeks that daily deaths fell below 50 in the lowest daily death toll and hospitalization rate since the outbreak began.
Five regions upstate have entered phase two. That's good news. Western New York is expected to move to phase two tomorrow.
New York will start to allow outdoor dining at restaurants as early as today in much of the state outside New York City. Staff will be wearing masks, and customers have to wear face coverings, too, except when they're seated. And New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is pleading with people who are demonstrating in response to the death of George Floyd to wear masks and keep proper social distancing amid the coronavirus pandemic. While tensions do rise between the White House and Pentagon over the use of military force during the protests, veterans groups are taking to the streets. Cynthia Scott, a retired member of the Air Force, marching in Washington, D.C.
The military in the United States does not enforce local population. That's just not how we do it here.
And now police are saying that violent criminal behavior happening during the protests are being carried out by caravans of well-coordinated criminals. Former New York Police Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce says the opportunists aren't attacking their own cities.
We've seen places from Iowa, right. Minnesota, right. Colorado. This is a tourist city, there's no
right.
question.
Sure.
But this is a bad time for tourism right now. Why are they coming into the city?
Investigators say the criminals are using social media to communicate. The Senate has cleared changes to the Paycheck Protection Program, allowing small businesses more flexibility to use the funds. The bill has already passed the House and now heads to President Trump's desk for his signature. But the pandemic is not quite finished with the U.S. labor market, threatening a second wave of job cuts. This time, white-collar workers' jobs are on the line. Bloomberg Economics finds 6 million jobs are potentially at risk. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Nathan. The official vote, not until today, but it's a done deal. The NBA has its plan to return the first game back likely July 31st. 22 of the 30 teams will then play 8 more games to finish the regular season. The Nets,
One of those 22. The Knicks are not. Then the teams that occupy the 8th and 9th positions in each conference, if they are close enough in the standings, will play off to see who gets that last spot. And then the playoffs will begin. 8 teams in each conference, all the games in Orlando. No fans. An official no from MLB to the players on their proposal of playing a 114-game season. And while there was that report that the owners would come back with the idea of playing only 50 games without reduced pay for those games, that counterproposal was not made. As heard earlier, Drew Brees says he's against any player taking a knee during the national anthem, that it shows disrespect for those like Brees' grandfathers who served their country.
And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution.
Brees was asked about it on Yahoo Finance because when Colin Kaepernick took the knee back in 2016, it was to protest police brutality against African Americans. Obviously, very much in the news again. LeBron James tweeted that taking a knee has nothing to do with disrespecting the military, and Brees was criticized by two of his New Orleans teammates, Michael Thomas and Malcolm Jenkins. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports Nation.
And John, it seems that Fauci is not a mutter. Yesterday, we told you about a horse running at Belmont Park named for Dr. Anthony Fauci, the man who is helping fight the coronavirus pandemic. Fauci, the horse, went off as the even money favorite in the third race, but hampered by a sloppy track, he finished a socially distanced five lengths behind a horse named Prisoner. S&P futures are lower by 11 points. Dow futures down 82. NASDAQ futures down 14.5. The euro at 1.1203 against the dollar. The yen at 109.04. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And a reminder to listeners getting ready to work from home, you can hear Bloomberg Radio on the Bloomberg Business app, radio.com, iHeart, Sirius XM, and TuneIn, as well as Bloomberg.com, and on the terminal by typing RADI Go.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The stock rally is on pause as equities struggle in Europe and Asia. U.S. stock index futures are also lower. The dollar climbing after five consecutive sessions of declines. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures down 12 points. Dow futures down 94. NASDAQ futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 0.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.9% on 72 cents at $36.57 a barrel. COMEX gold is up a third of a percent, up $5.30 at $17.10 an ounce. The euro 1.12 against the dollar. British pound 1.2517 and the yen 109.04. Today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the trade balance. And the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45. Broadcom and Gap are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy, good morning.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Good morning. Mass protests do continue across the country, but many seem to have become more subdued. Let's get more in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
Yeah, Amy, good morning. Protests remained largely peaceful in most cities. Just after the 8 p.m. curfew last night, police in New York City began clearing protesters. There was a clash in Brooklyn, but no incidents emerged from that. Separately, two NYPD officers were shot. One was stabbed. Their injuries not life-threatening, fortunately. A suspect was also shot. That doesn't appear related to protests. In New Orleans, police fired tear gas to disperse a crowd of protesters after Saints quarterback Drew Brees voiced opposition to football players kneeling during the playing of the national anthem. Thousands protested peacefully near the White House. Los Angeles announced plans to trim its police budget and use that money to invest in the city's black community. San Francisco and Seattle lifted their curfews. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It's coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Julian Lafargue is with us now, head equity specialist at Barclays. Good to talk with you this morning, Julian. Thanks so much for being with us. As we see a pause to the rally over the last four straight days, what do you see behind this pullback that we're seeing in the equity markets this morning?
Thank you, and good morning, and thank you for having me. Well, I think it's fairly normal that we see a slight pause. I mean, the rally has been so far quite relentless. And surprisingly so, given that we're still seeing, I would say, negative numbers on the economic front. It's true that we do have a positive narrative coming out of companies seeing a rebound in activity, but that was to be expected given how low activity has been during the lockdown. So I would say a pause is normal. Probably the rally was quite abnormal in the current context. It's quite healthy really to see this market taking a bit of a breather after such a strong run.
Well, do you expect the rally to pick up, though, given that so much of the focus, it seems, for investors has been looking way ahead to an economic recovery driven by, you know, reopening of businesses and seemingly infinite support from central banks?
Yeah, it does look like investors have decided to completely dismiss 2020 and look forward to the recovery that will happen in the later part of 2020 and in 2021. Will the rally continue? From a fundamental perspective, it's hard to justify much higher valuations. You would really need to see either a pickup in earnings, knowing that the consensus is already looking forward to this recovery, or maybe news around a vaccine being made available sooner than expected. But it's very hard for us fundamentally to justify market going much higher than that. Now, the investors, for the most part, remain largely underinvested compared to where they would like to be, given how strong the market has been. And it's true that we're continuing positive headline, whether it's around stimulus being pumped in around the world or reopening and activity rebounding. So when you take those two opposite forces, it's a market that could go slightly higher in the short term. But fundamentally, it's really hard to make the call that this rally has a lot further to go.
Are you advising your clients to look more closely at fundamentals then? Are you advising a defensive position?
Yeah, we wouldn't necessarily change that market at those levels. I think this whole experiment and experience over the last few months has proven the point that we've making for months. Being invested is crucial to long-term wealth creation. But when the market has run as it has over the past couple of months, I think that the prudent move is to stay invested, but really to look at ways to maybe diversify the exposure. And we've seen the rotation all happening. We've seen that some asset classes perform much better than others. But that can quickly reverse. And so really, for us, it's more about finding the right balance in terms of the diversification rather to say I'm going to switch on and off my portfolio.
All right. Well, it's going to be really interesting to see how markets react when we get not just the jobs report at the end of this week or the weekly claims later this morning, but the decision from the European Central Bank on what it's going to do with its bond buying program, whether it's going to expand that later today. Julian Lafargue, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Julian Lafargue is head of equity strategy at Barclays Private Bank with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen, what's happening with markets now?
Well, Nathan, as you say, there is plenty for investors to watch today. And ahead of it all, futures are lower, with S&P futures down about 15 points, Dow futures down 120, and NASDAQ futures down 27. Stocks also moving lower in Europe. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The CAC in Paris down about the same. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.4%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan was higher, up 0.3% today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.2% on 81 cents at $36.49 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up a third of a percent, up $6.20 at $17.11.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1201 against the dollar. The yen, 108.98. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks for that, Karen. It is 5:25 on Wall Street. Just ahead, we'll have all the latest developments in the case of George Floyd and the protests that have sprung up across the country. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. New charges have been filed in the death of George Floyd. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is elevating charges against former officer Derek Chauvin to second-degree murder. He's also charging three other officers at the scene of Floyd's death.
I filed a complaint that charges police officer King, Lane, and Tao with aiding and abetting murder in the second degree, a felony offense.
Attorney General Ellison concedes that convicting the officers will be difficult.
Well, protests continued across the country last night. Tensions ran high in New York and New Orleans, though demonstrations in most cities were peaceful. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Protesters clashed with police in Brooklyn. No incidents emerged from the confrontation. But separately, two New York City police officers suffered gunshot wounds. Another was stabbed. Their injuries not life-threatening. The suspect was shot. He's in critical condition. Meantime, in New Orleans, police fired tear gas to disperse protesters for the first time. Unrest in the city came after New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees said he still opposes football players kneeling during the national anthem. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The recent stock rally is hitting pause today. U.S. futures are lower after 4 days of gains for stocks. Coming up, we get the latest reading on the job market with weekly data on jobless claims. Here with more is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The number of new filers is forecast to continue dropping, although remaining far above historical norms. But the big issue is whether the number of people continuing to receive claims falls again as well. A drop last week encouraged markets, but economists note it may have been a distortion caused by filing deadlines in several large states. Another issue is the impact of the special pandemic claims program for people not normally eligible for unemployment benefits. Analysts need to add them into the total to get a true picture of the labor market. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. S&P futures are lower, down about 17 points. Dow futures down 133. NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2% on 76 cents at $36.53 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up a third of a percent, up $6.10 at $17.10.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1198 against the dollar. The yen, 108.93. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Now let's get the latest world and national news from Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he wants protesters who are demonstrating against the death of George Floyd to do so smartly without setting the state back on its COVID-19 progress. Cuomo says the state is on track to reopen slowly. He just doesn't want the spread of the virus to be undone. A similar plea from New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, who pleaded with demonstrators to keep wearing masks and keep proper social distancing. New York, by the way, will also allow outdoor dining at restaurants as early as today, but not in New York City, not yet. Everyone still will have to wear masks, including the diners, except when they're seated. Former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has condemned his former boss, President Trump, over his aggressive rhetoric and strategy to quell those protests that erupted after George Floyd's death. Mattis says Donald Trump is the first president he's seen who doesn't try to unite the country and doesn't pretend to try. That scathing rebuke from the Trump administration's first defense chief raises pressure on the president, who responded by saying he didn't like Mattis's leadership style or much else. Former President Barack Obama is taking on an increasingly public role as the U.S. confronts historic crises, the pandemic, and civil unrest, which will likely reshape the November election. During a virtual town hall, the former president had a message for protesters.
You've communicated a sense of urgency that is as powerful and as transformative as anything that I've seen in recent years.
And in taking a more public role, former President Obama, showing a willingness to critique his successor, President Trump. The Senate has cleared changes, by the way, to the Paycheck Protection Program, allowing small businesses more flexibility to use those funds. That bill has already passed the House. It has now cleared the Senate and will be heading to President Trump's desk for his signature. We have global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Amy, thank you. It is 5:35 now on Wall Street. Time to get the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Nathan. As heard earlier, here we go again with the controversy of an NFL player taking a knee during the national anthem. Colin Kaepernick, then of the 49ers, of course, did it, and it dominated the headlines back in 2016. He was protesting police brutality against African Americans. So in the wake of the George Floyd protests, Drew Brees was asked his thoughts on Yahoo Finance.
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II.
Brees later put out a statement supporting his teammates like Malcolm Jenkins, who had tweeted, later deleted, that he has lost respect for Brees, who he says needs to actually shut up. Seattle coach Pete Carroll says Kaepernick is actually owed a lot for elevating awareness of the issue. Of course, Kaepernick has not played in the NFL since that 2016 season. NBA Board of Governors vote on the playoff plan is today, but already widely reported it will be approved. 22 of the 30 teams to start games late July in Orlando, 8 games to finish the regular season. Then with 6 teams eliminated, the playoffs will begin. As of now, the Nets sits 7th in the East, would play Toronto. Baseball can't agree on a plan, so its season in danger of not taking place. Owners officially turned down the players' proposal of a 114-game season. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's just before 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here with that is Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Suffolk County, home to the Hamptons, is the summer playground for some of Wall Street's wealthiest. But the coronavirus pandemic is exposing the government's fragile finances and tipping it into a budget crisis. Sales tax revenue plummeted about 27% in April, according to the state comptroller. Investors are betting that the worst could be over for New York City landlords. SL Green Realty and Vornado Realty Trust, two of the city's most prominent building owners, have surged recently, even as the city, inching toward reopening from the pandemic shutdown, grapples with unrest that's damaged Midtown retailers. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont has issued an executive order. It allows furloughed workers to get unemployment even if they have fears of medical complications in accepting any job offer. That includes cases in which a worker might be afraid of passing an infection to a high-risk individual at home. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Florida's governor says the Sunshine State will host the GOP convention if President Trump is serious about moving it out of Charlotte.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Cargill will no longer release its quarterly earnings to the public.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on growing tensions between Britain and China on Hong Kong and Huawei.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that the big mall owner, Simon Property, is suing Gap, claiming the retailer has failed to pay millions of dollars in rent.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting SUVs and trucks are dominating auto sales as the industry recovers from the COVID-19 pandemic.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now with the cover on President Trump's political gamble to reopen the economy. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. Now, some other stories we're following this morning. China will ease a ban on flights to the country by foreign airlines starting Monday. The move comes after the Trump administration demanded the nation be reopened to U.S. carriers. If not, the White House threatened curbs on Chinese companies flying passengers to the United States. And Aston Martin plans to cut as many as 500 jobs to cope with lower demand for luxury cars. The British automaker is targeting savings of about $22 million in operating and manufacturing costs, while also lowering capital expenditure. Bit of a pullback from the rally of recent days. S&P futures are down 15 points right now. Dow futures lower by 121. NASDAQ futures down 23 points. 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield 0.74%. The yield on a 2-year Treasury note 0.18%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just before 5:41 on Wall Street now, President Trump's first defense secretary breaks his silence over the protests and division in the country. We speak next with Greg Valliere, chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The stock rally on pause as equities struggle in Europe and Asia. Futures on the S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 gauges edging lower a day after the tech-heavy index traded briefly above its record high close. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points this morning. Dow futures down 142. NASDAQ futures down 31. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 0.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2% on 74 cents at $36.55 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $7.30 at $17.12 an ounce. The euro, 1.1199 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2513. And the yen is at 108.97. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Civil unrest continues nationwide, but demonstrations were more subdued in most areas. Let's get more now from Bloomberg's John Tucker, who joins us live. John.
Yeah, Amy, protests remain largely peaceful in most cities. Now, just after the 8 p.m. curfew last night, police in New York City began clearing protesters. There was a clash in Brooklyn. No major incidents emerged from that. Now, separately, two NYPD officers were shot. One was stabbed. Fortunately, their injuries are not life-threatening. A suspect also shot. Not clear if that's related to the protests. In New Orleans, police fired tear gas to disperse a crowd of protesters after Saints quarterback Drew Brees voiced opposition to football players kneeling during the playing of the national anthem. Thousands protested peacefully near the White House. San Francisco and Seattle lifted their curfews. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, John. And the Army says Defense Secretary Mark Esper has overturned an earlier decision to send a couple hundred active duty soldiers home from the Washington, D.C. region. That is amid growing tensions between the White House and the Pentagon over how the White House wants the military to respond to the protests. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Greg Valliere is with us once again, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. I wanted to talk a little bit more with you, Greg, about this rift that we're starting to see between the president and not just the Pentagon itself, but former members of the Pentagon, most notably former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, with that extraordinary statement last night. What do you make of it all right now?
I think it's a big deal, Nathan. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think that it's not just Mattis. It's the way Trump talked about the late John McCain. It's the way the White House now is talking about the Defense Secretary, who is on thin ice. It's the White House abandonment of the Kurds, which really upset the Pentagon. So I think that Trump can no longer count on strong support from the military in the election. And then to compound things, he's alienated religious leaders by using that church across from the White House as a photo op.
Although we have seen the president at least putting a show of the military out there, particularly in Washington, is there a risk that that starts to backfire on him? Are we starting to see that now?
Well, I think he was counting on running as a law and order candidate, thinking that this unrest would persist and that he could look like the tough guy. He always talks about showing strength. But as protests are starting to simmer down, they're not over yet, but if this is becoming less violent and more of a peaceful protest, that doesn't help him either.
I want to talk a little bit more about the statement from Mattis, particularly because this is a figure that we don't hear from much since he left the Pentagon in protest over the president's actions in Syria. What is the weight of Jim Mattis coming out the way he has and making this not just criticism of the president, but this call for renewed national unity?
It's huge. Mattis is a retired four-star Marine general, highly regarded in the military, and I think his words really do have impact. And there are others, including former Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, who have issued similar complaints. Again, Trump has always portrayed himself as solidly behind the military. I'm not sure that the military is solidly behind him.
Is the Republican Party, the establishment figures in the Senate and the House, are they still behind him at this point?
Well, they are, but like everyone in this town, Nathan, we're addicted to the polls. And the polls aren't always exactly right, but I think the trends are right. And there were a couple of polls yesterday that really raised eyebrows, one showing that Joe Biden is slightly ahead in Texas and in Ohio. I looked up the results from 2016. He won Texas by 9 points. He won Ohio by 8 points. The nationwide poll from RealClearPolitics.com shows that Trump is trailing by 8 points. So I think a lot of Republicans in this town may start to worry more about their own reelection rather than Trump's reelection.
And there was a report in the New York Times last night that internal polling in the president's campaign is leading him to put more attention on states that he won pretty handily in 2016, like Ohio and Wisconsin, starting to see more ad spending there. What is the worry level within the Trump administration at this point?
Well, it's not just that he could lose them, and I, by the way, put Arizona in that category, incredibly, of states that Trump could lose. He could still win in states like Texas and Ohio, but he's going to have to spend a lot of time and resources in states that he never thought he would have to devote any time to.
Greg Valliere, always good getting your insights. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Greg Valliere is Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's look at President Trump's threat to deploy military force to deal with protests if the nation's mayors and governors don't act forcefully. Yesterday, the president saw his own Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, disagree with a stance. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Harold Krent, a professor at the Chicago Kent College of Law.
Does President Trump have the legal authority to send troops into U.S. states?
Yes and no. I mean, from the time of our founding, Congress has decided there may be some emergency in which the president would have to deploy federal troops to protect against some kind of insurrection or some kind of violence at the state level. There are a couple of different categories in which Congress has envisioned the president involving the troops in such protection or defense of the country. The category that President Trump would need to fit this use of troops into was when there is a sort of a failure of civil process, and when a state can no longer protect its citizens because there is so much violence going on and the normal administrative machinery is not available to protect its citizens. That's never been used, and it's unlikely to be used in this case because states themselves have said there is no failure of process. There may be a riot, but a riot's not an insurrection. Courts are still open. Police stations are still open. And so it doesn't seem to fit in within the structure of the statute allowing for the introduction of U.S. troops.
New York Attorney General Letitia James tweeted, "We will guard the right to peaceful protest and will not hesitate to go to court to protect our constitutional rights during this time and well into the future." But by the time you get into court, isn't it too late?
This is one of those difficult political constitutional questions that is not meant for speedy resolution in the courts. I mean, the court might try to say that there's an emergency motion and hear it and decide within a day, but even within a day, the troops would already be on the ground and the whole sort of reality would be changed. Now, I do think that there might be litigation after the fact, because if someone was arrested or somebody was, in fact, beat up by a member of the U.S. Army, then they would be able to sue after the fact on the ground that the whole introduction of U.S. troops was illegal and therefore their arrest or search and seizure should be thrown out. But in terms of immediately trying to get a court order to stop the introduction of U.S. troops, I think that's a high hurdle to overcome, and I wouldn't expect a court to be able to effectively stop the introduction of federal troops until for several days afterwards, by which time it might be too late.
And as Harold Krent, a professor at the Chicago Kent College of Law, speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso, catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning are on the decline. S&P futures are down 18 points, Dow futures down 155, NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. So is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.8%, down 68 cents at $36.61 a barrel. COMEX gold moving higher up 0.4% or $7.10 at $1,711.90 an ounce. And the euro, 1.1201. Against the dollar. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.